Red Business with Jonathan Healy.
Hi there, and thanks very much for joining us. Coming up on this episode, if you are a startup, then you won't want to miss an event at the Republic of Work later in the month. We'll tell you about that, and we'll find out what it is like to have a day in the life of a community worker and how they are interacting more and more with the city's businesses. But before we begin, I want to bring a really exciting new product to you. Lay. It's a new product developed here in Cork. It's an innovative electronic braille reader designed to offer an affordable and practical alternative to traditional braille books. Now, this is something that most people won't give a second thought to, but if you are somebody who has difficulty with their sight, braille is one of the main ways you have of reading. It's the brainchild of a guy called Colm Clancy, who contacted Red Business. He's part of the Student Inc. Entrepreneurial Activator Programme at the Rubicon out in MTU. Colm, how are you keeping?
Look, not too bad now. Yourself?
I'm very well. How did you come about this particular idea?
So it came about, right, by one of my friends. He's actually inside UCC, just started first year this year. And one of the guys in this course is he's fully blind, right? And so we were just chatting, you know, in the first week of college, and we were just kind of, you know, talking about this guy and like, you know, how does someone get through secondary level education and then go on to third level education with the resources that are already there? And then I'm part of the MTU Startup Society. So with that, I learned about this competition called Prize for Innovation. So there was a 14.5 grand prize pool in it. So I was like, look, you know, a bit of money, end of the college year, I'm going to take a bit of a crack out of this. So I kind of worked on it a bit more. And, you know, here I am today. So, yeah, that's kind of how it came about.
Right, so in other words,
try and push on from
I mean, you're very honest. There was a pool of cash there and you wanted into it, right? And I like that. I like that honesty. But the bottom line is you ended up with a product that makes a difference here. So it wasn't about the money at all in the end.
Oh, completely. No, not about the money. Like, you know, what I'm trying to do here is trying to fight the cause for, you know, expensive resources within the blind or visually impaired community. And if you're looking at any of our competitors, I won't name them now, but the lower end, you're looking about 3.5 grand, and you're going all the way up to about 14.5 grand for a similar product, which I think is inferior, but that's for other people to judge.
Yeah, but the whole thing of technology is the march of technology is relentless. And if you think about, you know, voice capture and all that, years ago, it was very expensive software that didn't really work. And now your iPhone can do it in a heartbeat, capture your entire voice and create an artificial voice box for you. Braille, I'm presuming, is heading in that direction as well. And those who embrace technology first will probably win the race.
Yeah, no, completely. Like, you know, these products, they're only going into the market at a high price because they can't, nobody else is doing it. It's a new thing. And, you know, everyone's trying to make a push in technology to see, you know, if they're doing it for the money, if they're doing it for the good of the cause. Everyone's trying to make a push anyways. And it's something that hopefully, not just for myself, but, you know, other companies will get within the sector and, you know, give it a good bit of a push and try and, you know, get a better education for these kids.
Now, I have to say, for a fellow who knew nothing about it, it was a weird thing to embrace. Had you ever encountered Braille before?
No, not really. Like, look, I've obviously, like everyone else, I've seen it. I didn't really. I felt it before, but I didn't really take much notice. But it was really, I was just kind of shocked and inspired by the stories that I heard from any of the customers that I interviewed to kind of keep me pushing and kind of learn a bit more about it as well.
How does the technology work, Colm?
So it'll work. It'll be akin to a Kindle. So if you can imagine a Kindle in your hand, instead of, say, a touch screen on it, you're going to have a thin rubber screen and mechanical pins pushing up through that screen to form Braille sentences. And then, you know, you can obviously then click, you know, sentence to sentence, hopefully about 3 sentences a page. And then when you refresh, a new couple of 3 sentences will come up. There'll also be sound features and vibrations to kind of help along. And then hopefully we'd be able to get subscriptions or licenses from any of the college or school book providers that then would be able to be put onto our system online and then downloaded onto the Braille e-reader that you could read the school or college books, just like everybody else.
Yeah, so in other words, it's not about putting the latest Stephen King book and making it accessible to reading on the beach. This is more about education.
It could. But what I've learned from talking to people who have read Braille, it's a tiring thing to do. It's not like, say, you or me finding enjoyment reading a book. So it's more something to kind of sit down and learn. But if you know, if you wanted to download a Stephen King book, go for it. You could download a Stephen King book.
Tell me about the reaction of the, I'm presuming you have testers who've been helping you with this, who have visual impairment. What's been their reaction to this particular plan?
Yeah, look, they're delighted, obviously. Someone new coming in, trying to change the scene, and then especially someone trying to make something a bit cheaper as well. Because there was even an unnamed person from an unnamed college that I was interviewing only the other day, and even saying like the prices that colleges pay for even printing regular Braille books, trying to translate you know, the normal college books into Braille books, it's insane money. And you know, when the student is done with that module, these books just get, you know, thrown away. They're in the library for years and nobody uses them. So the colleges are happy. Any of the parents or the students that I've been talking to, you know, they're kind of seeing it as a way to kind of gain a bit of independence as well, that there doesn't need to be an SNA kind of hanging around them the whole time, that and even just, you know, they can go off and kind of do their own work themselves. So everyone who I've talked to, it's definitely been a positive experience.
Yeah, and of course, you're not lugging around big, heavy books, which at a basic level is going to be better for your college experience. So what's next for Leigh, Colm? What are you going to do next?
So look, next, I want to get a fully working prototype by hopefully the end of the summer. But you know, it's optimistic, but say a bit, with a bit of work, it can be something that's done. I want to start talking to all the book providers, and then we'll kind of see where it goes from then. Obviously, a lot more research needs to be put into it to see if it's kind of a viable product that can be put into the market. But we're getting there, and I've good help here in the Rubicon Centre with Student Inc. So, you know, they'll push me on. So hopefully we'll kind of get something going.
Well, it's a fantastic story, and fair play to you for taking on such an ambitious project. But I'd say the return will be significant for those who will benefit from it. Colm Clancy, the designer of Leigh, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us on Red Business today.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Now, our friends at the Republic of Work will be holding a big event for budding entrepreneurs at the end of the month on the 27th of June. It's called Connecting the Startup Ecosystem, and its plan is to unite Ireland's top startup programmes to showcase supports available to Irish startups. So the NDRC, who are involved with Republic of Work, New Frontiers, Ignite, HBAN, Local Enterprise Office, our friends there, are all going to be there to show how they can help businesses get on the road to success. Andy McManigan is the Programmes Associate at Republic of Work. How are you, Andy?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on, Jonathan.
It's lovely to talk to you. Tell us a little bit about what you hope to achieve. This is kind of it's a coming together of great minds who are supporting small business.
Yeah, that's essentially it. Like, we think that this event is best described as a showcase of the different support networks that really Ireland has to offer. You know, this country really is hailed for the support we offer to early stage startups. And at Republic of Work, we wanted to ensure that entrepreneurs across the country, you know, that they understand the different opportunities and different supports that are there to help them boost their growth. And that's really how this event came to be. And it's fantastic to see all the different kind of stakeholders and the different supports really eager and involved in providing value to those who are going to be there on the day.
A lot of these companies, though, might say, well, I'm not in the tech sector, I'm involved in manufacturing, or I'm involved in, you know, developing a program or something like that. Is it exclusively tech businesses that you're trying to attract?
No, and that's the interesting part, because the program that I'm running here in Republic of Work, the NDRC program, is specifically for tech entrepreneurs. But I suppose this kind of demonstrates the value that this event will bring. It's that we can broaden our horizons beyond what we provide in NDRC. So a lot of the different programs that are going to be there in the day will have their own unique value. And, you know, a good example again is You know, we'd have mentors, you know, speakers and advisors that are specifically, you know, bringing support for the tech industry. But equally, we have with the local enterprise office, there's going to be a massive value there in terms of maybe startups who are looking for grant funding, or equally, you know, if there's people who are spinning out of the universities, we have the likes of Student Inc. or Ignite. And of course, New Frontiers as well, run by Enterprise Ireland and with MTU. And that would also have the sort of the stipend funding in some of their programs to really help people develop out their startup.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in a startup to begin with, Andy. And you mightn't know who's right for you. You might know what stage your business is actually at. You might think you're further down the line than you actually are. How important is it choosing the right partner?
I suppose it's what's important is that you don't have to choose only one. And I think that's one of the big messages we're trying to get out there. It's that, yeah, you can choose multiple different programs at once. And a lot of them would cater for different stages of your journey. So a good example would be, you know, with some of our early stage programs in NDRC, we might be helping you at ideation stage, whereas the HBAN program, which is the Halo Business Angel Network, and that's sort of it's an initiative that gets you ready for angel investments. So a lot of the different supports that will be there on the day will cater for different stages of that founder journey. There, some of the supports will be similar, but they'll all have their own unique twists, and they'll all be able to provide you, you know, different benefits at different stages.
Now, how easy is it to walk into you guys in Republic Work and you know, have a conversation with you about what might work for you as your business, whether you're a client of Republic Work or not? It seemed kind of intimidating, Andy, the way you're listing all these different acronyms and everything like that. I know it's not, but how easy is it to get in?
Yeah, and to be honest, that's one of the things I'm quite fearful of. It's that different entrepreneurs and different startups, you know, they might feel like they're too early maybe to have these sort of conversations with me. But in Republic of Work, we genuinely have that open door policy, where I want to speak to any startup and any entrepreneur to hear their story and hear how I can provide value. So I think that's one of the key messages we're trying to get across on the day of this event. It's that, you know, we're here to support. We want to hear from you. And I think that resonates across all the different players on this event or different sort of support systems getting involved. It's that often we have an open door policy and we are looking to give you support where you need it most.
Okay, you know? Well, it's on the 27th of June in Republic of Work, republicofwork.com, if you want to find out more details of that. Andy McManigan, who is the Programs Associate at Republic of Work. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us, Andy.
Great. Thanks, Jonathan.
One of the areas we don't talk about enough on the podcast is the idea of community work. It's a big sector that's out there that needs the support of the business community and indeed the public. So we're going to take a look at a day in the life of a community worker. And part of my next guest's varied role is to manage the Dolly Parton Imagination Library for Cork City Partnership. So you have to say she's already starting with a superstar in her back pocket. Michelle Keane, you're very welcome. How are you?
Thank you, Jonathan. I'm good, thank you.
Tell me, first of all, what is the Dolly Parton Imagination Library?
The Dolly Parton Imagination Library, it originated, Dolly Parton said that when she was young, her father used to read books to her, and her love of books, she wanted to share with other people. So as the years went on, she started the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, where she funded and I suppose advertised books and gave free books to young children in certain parts of the world, and there who are under age 5. So it was started in Ireland, especially Cork, and it's sent out to children in certain areas all over Cork City, in certain parts of Cork City, sorry. And I covered the Mahon area, and the Mahon area was picked because there is no library in Mahon, and every child, you know, I suppose from birth up, enjoys a book. So that's the history that
okay.
I'm aware of.
Tell me a little bit about your role as a community worker. What do you do from day to day?
Well, Lord. Well, I suppose really when I went into the role, I was under the impression it was a community worker and, you know, just going out and checking in with the services that we've already linked in with. But it wasn't really, it completely varies every day. I get up in the morning, I answer my emails, go into the office, or I mightn't be in the office, I could be in Mahon. So I cover the areas of Mahon, Greenmount, Barrack Street, parts of Grange, parts of the Airport Road, city centre, and it's really it's varied. So I meet up with people who are in community, who are in tidy towns, who are in community gardens, who are in interested in doing courses, because we run courses. Cork City Partnership run all free courses, and you have to come under SICAP. And you know, you have to either be on low income, be on social welfare payment, be on any type of social welfare payment, and a low income, be a single parent. And we like to cover, it's varied who we cover. So my role is to go out, and I love my role, I genuinely do. It's to go out and meet people. So I could meet people for meetings, we could make a plan of what they need to do. So for instance, recently I've been asked, well, a few of us have been asked, but for me it's Mahon, to certain areas of Mahon are being covered under the empowering community. So this Friday I will be down in Mahon, in an area in Mahon, and we're just going to give it a little bit of a tidy and a spring clean, do a little bit of painting, and I was told it has to be in the Mahon colours, which would be red and black.
Okay, very important.
Yes, of course it is very important because they want to own it, you see, and that's very important as well.
And
And
how,
then,
Michelle, how much support do you get from the rest of the community and the business community out where you are?
well, I suppose for Mahon, I get great support in Mahon, and I'm just picking Mahon out at the moment because it's a one area, and there's a lot of businesses, I suppose, down there, and I do get fierce support. And so there's a community garden, there's a tidy towns, they have the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, there's the schools, there's the community association, there's the Rainbow Club. They are all very, you know, when I took this job first, you're going out and you're meeting people and you want to build a trust with them, and let them know I'm not looking for anything, I'm actually giving something for free. And you know, and I understand people, they're a little bit dubious of who's this person who coming in. But in Mahon, I know, and in certain other areas, but I'm just tuning into Mahon because of Dolly Parton, they were very welcoming to me, as much as the Lough Community Centre, were very welcoming to me as well. But in Mahon, there are quite a few businesses. There's that. No, I feel like I'm advertising all the businesses,
No, we're
but
it's a business podcast. Keep going.
yes. But I mean, you have the store, the Meadow stores down there. They're very good. Every time I went in there with a poster and asked them to share it, you know, they shared it, and they were the anywhere, any place I've asked, even the Lough Community Centre, the Lough Church, everybody that I've contacted, I tell them who I am, I introduce myself, I have a relationship built up with all these people now, and they know me. So as I say, so this Friday we're doing this, the tidy up. The next Tuesday we're going to be in a different area of mine, working with the Bay Project, and residents, to make hanging baskets, have a cup of tea, and a cake, afterwards, or a sandwich. And then it's me building a relationship with the residents. They can see that they've made hanging baskets, or they've made flowering baskets, or they've painted or even swept. And there's a sense of pride
Yeah, no, and
because we are all like that. We are all like that.
exactly, everybody wants to see that. So the idea of Cork City Partnership is such a broad thing, but you're offering and giving something back to the community, and there's lots of courses that you're getting people to get involved in as well,
Yes.
up to and including starting their own business.
Oh yes, and we have Tony O'Regan. He does that. Tony, and he's in the office, so that's part of his role as well. You know, helping people. And if I come across somebody, you know, that is looking for Tony's information or Tony's contact number, I'll share that person's details with Tony, and I have the permission to share Tony's details. So there is building relationships all the time, and it's very important. And if I can't get something, for a person or a business or a resident under, you know, my remit, then I work closely as well with Cork City Partnership. The rapid areas would be Mahon. So Arthur Needham would be the rapid coordinator for Mahon, and other areas. So I would work closely as well with Cork City Council, and we work as a team. And that's what it's about. It's about teamwork and gathering all the people that are just doing the same thing as you, all for the betterment of the community. And we work as a team. And that, you know, no man is an island, and you can't really work on your own because you'll sink. So, and that's for me, that's what I learned. Go out, meet the residents, meet the communities, meet the businesses, get them, get to know, get to schools are very important. meet the parents and get to know them, and for them to get to know you
Okay.
so that they feel comfortable.
Well, it's a brilliant job and a very varied job as a community worker. Partnershipcork.ie is the website address if you want to have a look and see what they're doing. Michelle Keane, community worker with Cork City Partnership. Will you pass our best to Dolly?
Oh, I will, of course. I would love to meet her. I don't think I will,
You
but
never
I will.
know.
I'll send her a text.
She might make the marquee one of these years. And Michelle, thank you so much for joining us on Red Business. And that is it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Mary O'Neill was our producer. Don't forget Red Business in Focus, with thanks to Cork's local enterprise offices, up and running right now on our website, redfm.ie. And we will catch you on the next one.
Get the Red Business podcast every week with Jonathan Healy at redfm.ie and wherever you get your podcasts.